All right, folks, welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. It's Ryder Cup Sunday. It's Singles Sunday, if you will. Pleased to be joined by my good friend, Kieran Clark from GolfShake.com and Golf Breaks USA. Kieran, how are we doing today?
I'm very well, Anthony. Obviously, we're kind of looking forward now to what could be a tremendously fascinating and possibly epic final day at the Ryder Cup. You know, yesterday will be hard to follow. Yesterday afternoon was just the unrelentless. The quality of the golf was stunning. It was edge of the seat stuff throughout. And we have a Patrick Reed, Rory McIlroy, match up to kick us off this afternoon. And that's the definition of epic. So it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, there seems to be, and we'll get to that. There seems to be some a lot of banter regarding whether that was the smart move to have it set up. I certainly have an opinion regarding that. I think there's a difference between strategy and reality, and so and I think, and we'll get to that in a second. But yesterday, let's talk about yesterday first briefly.
Yeah.
This is going to be a quick hit podcast, so people can listen to it and get all revved up and lathered up for today's show. But yesterday the golf was just absolutely phenomenal. Like you said, I'm not sure there was a better Saturday, and quite frankly, I'm not sure how it even could be followed up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously, it's just the standard of play, the amount of birdies and eagles, and just some of the shots these guys were creating was just incredible. And the matches were generally close. You know, unlike the previous days, where really, obviously, the first day, none of the matches went to 18. So we had some of that yesterday in 17-18. So we had matches that were going right to the end. We had, obviously, moments of absolute brilliance, and particularly from the likes of Patrick Reed, who essentially carried Jordan Spieth around the golf course. Jordan Spieth was essentially not even involved in the match. I think Spieth didn't actually win a single hole for America. It was just, Reed was just unbelievable. He was like Captain America out there. And against Rory and Thomas Peters, who have been an unbelievable partnership, the quality of play. Thomas Peters, I said on your radio show yesterday, I think he's going to be the real standout player, and that's come true because he's just a star in the making. He's a brilliant talent and cool under pressure. And Rory's obviously been so revved up with the crowd and all the rest, and it's just made for some really good television, to say the least. And elsewhere, even Phil, who's kind of been pillared in the foursomes, and that was a very strange move yesterday morning, putting him back out there. But Phil came up trumps in the four balls. He played very well alongside Matt Kuchar, and they got a really good win against Garcia and Kaymer. Maybe Cabrera-Bella should have been there alongside Sergio. Who knows? And obviously, in the first game, the other game was really the kind of the grinders match, the game that seemed destined to go to just be a halve. The out-of-form players, Willett and Westwood against Holmes and Moore. But J.B. Holmes played well. He held it together. And then in the end, obviously, two really soft bogeys from Willett and Westwood in 17 handed the Americans the advantage. And, of course, after producing two brilliant shots to get within a couple of feet on the last hole, Lee Westwood's, unfortunately, twitchy putting stroke showed again in a crucial moment. And that could prove very costly for Europe. And it was very sad to see. And but it culminated what was a dramatic day.
Well, my feeling is I can't, and maybe you have a little better grasp of history than I do. I just can't remember a Ryder Cup with such extremes. It's just been extreme from start to finish, at least to this point. You had the unusual morning sweep on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You had the near reverse sweep on Friday afternoon. The epic collapse of pretty much epic collapse of Reed and Spieth against the Magics, against the magical Spaniard pairing. You had the unbelievable play of Reed, as you just noted, basically winning on his own ball.
Yep.
And then the emotional wreckage and visually unappealing stroke of Lee Westwood on Saturday afternoon. It's just been, there has been no in between, and I just don't remember a Ryder Cup where it was, there's always momentum shifts and there's always momentum garnered and that seems to ebb and flow, but never in my memory to this extreme. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it almost feels like each session has been its own distinct Ryder Cup itself in its own way. It feels completely different each time.
Yep.
And it's been so hard to read as to where it's going to go one way or the other. And it's changed dramatically during the matches themselves. And obviously, like you say, the Reed Spieth one yesterday morning and the foursomes, that was a dramatic collapse, and that was something nobody would have expected, no matter how good the Spanish pairing were. That was unimaginable, really. So it has been really hard to predict. And for once, the Ryder Cup is obviously such a big, hyped-up event. We build it up all the time. It seems to get bigger every single time. That has its plus and negative points. But for once, in terms of the play, the quality of play and the drama so far generated, for once, I think the Ryder Cup's probably matched or even perhaps exceeded expectations.
Yeah, I agree. It's been absolutely, save the fan interference, I think it's just been a tremendous, tremendous experience visually. I don't even want to discuss the fan interaction. It's disgusting. and there's just, it is what it is. We live in a selfish world, and that's just the way it's going to be. And especially when you have, the Ryder Cup. The only thing I will say is the Ryder Cup is a happening, and it's going to bring people who are not really fans, who want to be part of the happening, who want to go and get drunk and be part of the happening. It's a happening. And if you're going to want to bring in people outside the golf world for the good of sales and revenue, then you're going to have to accept what comes with it. So that's my only spiel I'm going to say. They've made their bed. The almighty dollar is important to them. And they're going to keep selling beer, and they're going to keep, overselling tickets, and you're just going to have to take it. And that's just the reality of the situation.
No, I completely agree. And I think, to an extent, the organizers have essentially encouraged this to happen, but like you say, by pushing it so much, hyping it up so much, and building the atmosphere, trying to push the noise levels up from what they have been in previous years. And when you do that, you're just opening the door for the idiots to make their voices heard. However, what I will like to note about that is actually the American players themselves. I think their conduct has been fantastic all week. And I think those guys, we've seen Jordan Spieth in particular at times, I think it's bothered them as well. They've been somewhat embarrassed about it, because in the end, these guys are competitors. They know most of these players on the tour quite well. They don't want to see that sort of thing happen. They want the Ryder Cup to be defined by their own actions, their own play. And I think the American players, and they have not stoked the flames like perhaps they did back in 91 at Keough Island, or even 99. I think the American players and captain and staff there, they've conducted themselves really well. And it's unfortunate that some of the fans have let them down.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, on to Sunday singles. Your take on the Reed McIlroy? Let's take a step back. Your take on the overall layout and pairings, and then begin with Reed McIlroy.
Well, I think the European pairings are what you would expect. They have to get some points on the board really fast and early, and create some kind of momentum. Because unlike Medina 4 years ago, Europe were behind then, obviously, but Europe had finished the Saturday so strong, so they came into Sunday with some sort of impetus and momentum behind them. Don't have that at all here, so they have to get something started early. So putting out McIlroy, Stenson, Peters, Rose, Cabrera, Bill, Garcia as your first six matches, that's what you would have expected. For the Americans, I think it's a slightly harder situation to try and handle. I think it's more of a case of, you can criticise it one way or the other, because you look at the matchups, there's possibly a danger that the Americans could in theory lose maybe five or six of the first six games, and obviously if that happens, then it's a different ballgame entirely. That said, I've seen the argument that some people have had, which is to put out the kind of lesser players at the start, just give up those points and then try and win the match in the second half of the draw. But in the end, if you do that, you're going to be under so much pressure in those last five or six matches, and anything can happen in that scenario. So I think for Davis Love and for the Americans, they've put out quite a balanced lineup. They've mixed the guys up a little bit. And overall, I think you can criticise it one way or the other, but I think there's no right or wrong answer here in this thing. So it's they've probably done the right thing. But the first match, obviously, is a blockbuster one. We all wanted to see that. And I think it's potentially such a defining match, because if McIlroy goes out there and destroys Patrick Reed, there goes the momentum in Europe's favour. But if Reed, and the way Reed played yesterday, I know people are fancying Rory here because of the way he's played recently and the power that he has off the tee and all the rest and the kind of the aggression he's had, but the way Patrick Reed played yesterday, if his energy levels can get back up to that level again today, then he will give Rory a very good game. And if Patrick Reed was to win that first match, then that might just swing the Ryder Cup in the Americans' favour. That's a massive statement of intent if they can get that first point on the board. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. You know, I thought JB Holmes played very well yesterday, so up against Thomas Peters, that could be a good match there. So it's going to be a fascinating one. But I know, Anthony, you've got some thoughts about the strategy, but I think overall they've probably got it just about right.
Yeah, I just think, you know, when, you know, I've grown up playing sport all my life, and the bottom line is there's a reality. And the reality is that if I'm Davis Love or you're Davis Love, Kieran, and I'm Patrick Reed, you know, I know, and you know that they're going to put McIlroy out first. And I'm going to walk up to you and I'm going to be like, you're going to put me out there first. And that's just the end of it. Just in the same way that Reed told Tiger Woods, I'm playing all five matches and I don't want to hear a thing. You just can't deny the best want the ball in the biggest moments. And you can't deny a guy that kind of, you know, you just can't. Because if you deny him that, first of all, you're telling him you don't have any confidence in him. You're going to say, you're saying we don't like your chances against McIlroy. So the guy who's brought you there, the guy who carried you on your back emotionally, yes, other guys won their points yesterday, but the poster boy for America is Patrick Reed. You cannot undermine his confidence by telling him, well, we're going to just maybe sacrifice number one for a sure point down the line. You can't do that.
No, I completely agree. And I've seen so many people saying the opposite to what we're saying, and I'm somewhat bemused by it.
Yeah.
For me, in the end, you know, Reed, this has been his stage this week. He's made this his own, and it's, you know, this is finally kind of the final chapter of his story at this Ryder Cup. And he's to go out to there today and to beat Rory. You know, he is going to be a Ryder Cup legend for American fans for years to come. And he probably already is, but he's going to be even more one if he can get a result today. And you know, Reed has been kind of the de facto team leader this week for America on the course, and he's going out today, like you say, leading the team from the front against the European's best player. That's his stage, and you know what? The way he's played this week, I wouldn't be surprised if he steps up to the mark today and gives Rory a really tough game. And if he gets that first point, then all the momentum is with the Americans, and then I think it'll be very hard to beat from that point. So I think Davis Love has done the right thing. Try and match Europe from the start. If you can get some result, even if they half the first six matches 3-3, the Americans are in such a strong position from there. Only need two more wins from the last six matches to win the Ryder Cup. So I think Davis Love has done pretty much the right thing. A balanced lineup, put your best guys at the top there. Some guys in the middle of experience like Mickelson and Snedeker and so on, and Dustin Johnson there. Kepka's been looking good too. You'd fancy them to probably get a win today. So I think the American lineup's very strong. Europe done what they had to do, was put the top guys at the front. That's only option they had. So in the end, the way all the pressure's on them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And when I look at the first, you said it's conceivable they can win the first five, six matches. Europe, that is. I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, there are some question marks in that. You have to see what Stenson picks up. I mean, quite frankly, when I looked at the matchups, I was like, wow. We could be 0-5 right out the gate. I don't think Garcia is going to beat Mickelson. I know how people feel about Mickelson. I just feel like this is his swan song. I don't think he loses to I don't think he loses to Garcia. I think he carries the momentum of how he finished. He got the good mojo from Kuchar yesterday, and I think he carries that mojo into his swan song. I don't think he gets beat by Garcia. I don't think Cabrera Bello is a lock against Walker. So that one to me is another possibility. I do think Rose beats Fowler. I do think I think McIlroy beats Reed. I think McIlroy is a smarter golfer. I think Reed is an emotional bit of a bulldog. I think golfing intelligence beats emotion there, but I think it's a close match. I don't know who's showing up. Stenson was a little spotty down the line. He did chip in, obviously, on 17. Was it 17 that he chipped in on?
Yeah.
He chipped in on 17. He had sparks, but, you know, Spieth was in witness protection yesterday, obviously. If he finds something on the range, and, you know, there's just too many. I think that's a pick 'em. I really do. You don't know who's going to necessarily show up. And Peters Holmes, I give the edge to Peters there, but... You know, the more I drill down on these first five, six matches, I don't see it doesn't seem straight up 0-5 as I originally thought.
No, perhaps not. And actually, when you look at the number of matches the players have actually played, the European guys, a lot of them have played all five matches. You know, Garcia's played all five matches, McElroy, Peters, Rose, Stenson, they've all played every match. And like you said yesterday, Stenson, as great as he's been this week, he started to lose energy towards the end yesterday, as did Justin Rose. Even Rory McIlroy, as great as he was yesterday, the last two or three holes, Peters was the better player there. Rory kind of lost a bit of an edge there. So will that play a part today? It might very well do. We'll have to wait and see. The American players, obviously, apart from Reed and Spieth, who Davis have wanted to potentially drop out, as you noted earlier on, but they were told not to. Tiger came and said to them, well, these are my guys, they want to play, get them out again in the afternoon. And Davis Love, if you look at the American team, for all he's done, people can say right or wrong, what I think he's tried to do is to ensure that everybody is coming into Sunday fresh. Because he remembers what happened 4 years ago when the momentum was in the Europeans' favour, the American guys were just knocked out by the big juggernaut of Team Europe that day. He's trying to create the opposite effect, where his guys are fresher, they're sharper, and they're more likely to have higher energy levels, and indeed are probably more likely to play better under pressure if it gets towards the end. So I think the American team, the way he's managed this week, has been far more balanced. But like you said yesterday in the radio show, Anthony, I think also Europe's kind of, Darren Clark's hand was forced by what happened in the first session on Friday. So his plan's been kind of messed up by that. And as a result, his team potentially is going to have some quite weary legs in it, and weary minds in particular, while the Americans, I think, could be fresher. And even though on paper you'd fancy the Europeans to do well in the first six matches, like you, I think potentially, you know, given that scenario of energy levels and whatnot, I think the Americans might be able to maybe get a few upsets out there, grab a few half points, and if they do that, suddenly it becomes really, really tough for Europe to get back into it in the second half of the draw.
Yeah, and the other thing we have to, you know, history will forget this, but the bottom line is you have to take in the context of this, what happened on Friday, and there are two things. Number one, no one expected the United States to sweep them, and two, yep, you have to wonder if there was supposed to be a Westwood,
Danny Willett.
Thank you. Sorry, yep. I was blanking out on his name. There was
Sunday morning.
Yeah, exactly. There might have been a Westwood-Willett pairing in that Saturday morning, and you don't know if that would have had anything to do, if anything, to do with it. But if you're going to tell the when we look back on history, you have to remember all the facts, and given what happened with the article of Danny Willett's brother and having to shake up that first morning's pairings, you don't know what that did. We'll never know what that did. All we know is that it ended up being 0-4 for Europe on the Friday morning, and that's a tough punch in the face to take at the start of round one. And so it really sent Clark into a little bit of a scramble. I'm not saying panic, but a scramble. I just think if the United States can get 2 or 3 points out of those first six matches, I just don't see, and of course, listen, we didn't see 0-4 or 4-0 do Friday. I don't see down the line, I just don't see Europe having enough power down the line. People saying Westwood's going to rebound today against Moore because he's so angry. It's one thing to play poorly like Spieth did. He can bounce back. You don't bounce back 24 hours from the yips. And I am as big a Lee Westwood fan as I can be. I love him. I think he's a great ambassador for the game. He's a class act. But you don't recover from the yips in 24 hours. I think he struggles today. I think Snedeker can handle Sullivan. I think Koepka can handle Willett, although I think that'll be a good fight. I think Kuchar can handle Keimer, and I think Zach Johnson can handle Fitzpatrick. There's just too much down the line it's just too strong of and well balanced a line. Lineup for Europe for U.S. down the line. It just might be too insurmountable. The tale will be told in those first six matches.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like you, if America wins, you know, takes maybe 2.5 points at most, or even just a couple of points from the first six games, I think it's like you, it's almost impossible for Europe to come back from that. I cannot see, like you say, Snedeker, Dustin Johnson, Koepka, Kuchar. I can't see all those guys losing. America, have to remember, it's like, you know, five matches, win that is all they need to do to win the Ryder Cup back. And I think, you know, they're well within their capabilities to do that. That said, you know, here's the kind of the doomsday scenario. What if kind of the Houdini moment at Hazeltine happens and somehow Europe come back today and create an even more extraordinary triumph, arguably, than Medina? Where do the Americans go from there? You know, there's a lot of variables, a lot of pressures, and a lot of questions today. It's going to be a really fascinating few hours ahead.
Well, I think if you have any experience in sport, you have to understand that this is still a step in the process, okay? The United States has taken on this the European model, which they should have done a long time ago, but politics being politics and egos being egos, it took a while to get there. It took a Mickelsonian moment for them to force their hand, and for better or worse, he forced their hand, whether, you know, and that's another argument for another show. We finally taken on the correct model, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And this
I think definitely. And from all accounts, the American team have been so much more organized.
Right.
They look like a much better unit this week.
So,
and, you know, obviously the results so far have showed that. So I think in the end, you know, it's, you know, anything can happen in sport. Anything can happen when you're out in the golf course and momentum goes one way or the other. Anything can happen on the day. You know, a lip out here or there. The margins are very fine. And as we saw at Medina 4 years ago, the amount of stuff that Europe had in their favour that day was unreal. The amount of putts that they made. Justin Rose doesn't make that 50-foot putt on 16 at Medina, they don't win the Ryder Cup. So it's anything can happen. But I think the structure that the Americans have put in, as much as been overblown and kind of talked about a bit too much, and we have somewhat over on this side of the pond kind of ridiculed it in some way. But at the same time, I think maybe the kind of the build-up and the hype around it's been a bit over the top, but the actual results of it have shown for themselves. And I think the American team going forward will be better suited for that. And if they get the win today, then it'll be obviously immediate dividends for that change.
Yeah, exactly. And so the way I look at it is don't get me wrong. If they lost, it would be devastating. It's always devastating when you lose the Ryder Cup. But I still think they've put in a correct formula for future success, and that's what you have to build on. And you as Mickelson has said, you have to create an environment that gets the best out of their players, and this is the environment that I believe is going to pay dividends down the road, if not this time. We all want immediate success. But I think you could say that Davis Love had fairly good success the last time around. Let's remember that it did take a miracle at Medina to beat us. So there's that. And then you'd have the lead going into Sundays again. And so that's all positive. And I think the proof is in the pudding now. To get that we've. Sort of, we're on the right track going forward.
No, I completely agree. And I think Davis Love, like you said there, I think he was extremely unfortunate 4 years ago. I think he deserved to have a second chance at it. And for him, you know, he's kind of an inoffensive character, if you like, in the PGA Tour. He's one of the guys that everyone respects. So if he was to get a Ryder Cup victory today as a captain, then, you know, there are worse people that could happen to. So I wouldn't begrudge him the win, that's for sure.
No, and... The two things I'm taking away so far, let's say if the Americans win, my feeling is there are a couple of people I'm happy for Davis Love. He's obviously one of the good guys of the game, just like Clark said in the opening ceremony. He's a class act, and I'd be happy for him to get sort of at least have a little bit, not that he needs redemption, but a little bit of redemption in terms of how history will view him as a Ryder Cup captain. Because he did everything all but did the right things the first time around, but was, you know, well, we already just said it. There was a miracle that happened, and so that was sort of taken from him. I would feel bad for Darren Clark. I like him as well, another great guy. And that's how but there's got to be a winner and a loser, and so that's kind of how I would sort of overview this kind of this Ryder Cup. If the Americans win, if Europe wins, I would feel just the opposite. You know, I'd feel devastated for Davis Love going 0-2 But for the likes of Darren Clark, I'm a big fan of his as well, and happy for him. Although I hope he gets on back on his diet real soon. He's looking quite round these days.
Well, I think he's been enjoying all those Ryder Cup dinners that he's been getting the last couple of years. He's been enjoying the hospitality for free, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. How will you, you know, give me your sort of perspective on given a European win or a United States win?
Well, I think a European win would obviously be astonishing if it happens from here. I think expectations are probably lower than what they were 4 years ago, as we touched on earlier. So if they were to win, it would feel as if they've just stolen the victory, really. And I don't think there'll be too much credit going in the way of Darren Clark, because of some of the decisions that he's made this week, some of the picks that he made beforehand. You know, Darren Clark, he's one of those characters who a lot of people like him, but a lot of people don't like him. He's a very kind of alienating figure in that sense. There's a lot of folk in the European Tour who aren't the biggest Darren Clark fans, and I think if he doesn't get the win today, the knives will come out for him. That said, he has his supporters, has his fans, has his friends on tour. So, you know, it's in that respect, he will be probably viewed one way or the other as being, you know, if they win today, they've probably won in spite of him. I think that will be the kind of the consensus. And for the Americans, Davis Love, if they win today, he probably won't get any credit for it. And if they lose today, he'll get all the blame. So for a Ryder Cup captain as a whole, I think it's really a no-win situation, because, you know, unless you're like a Paul Azinger and you feel that he almost created this sort of mystical formula in his own brain. And,
yeah.
And I think that was he got the credit for his success that time. But really, other than him, and maybe Paul McGinley the last time, they're probably the only two Ryder Cup captains in recent memory who have actually had the big recognition for their success. The rest of them, you almost feel like they actually won in spite of the players won in spite of the captains.
So, well,
either way, I think it's a case of if the Americans win, in the end, if the Americans win, I think it's good for the Ryder Cup. It makes them more competitive again on paper. It makes the next event even more exciting, and like Golf National in 2 years in France. So I think in the end, a competitive cup, a competitive competition is better for everybody.
Well, I think if the United States wins, I think the criticism for Clark, and maybe the only just criticism, might be that his captain's pick and not picking Russell Knox.
I
think that's probably the more fair criticism. People are going to question his pairings, but like we said, going 0-4 is a big slap to the face. And that's really going to have to change pairings. Now, people are going to argue, well, why wouldn't Cabrera and Bayo and maybe Sergio play it again in the afternoon or whatever yesterday, you know, together? You know, that's, again, you know, he's already had how many people play so many matches. I mean, how many guys, you know, you can't have your five best playing players play five matches or six play. But, you know, I just feel like then they're going to be burnt out. So I think the only fair criticism will be the captain's pick. And then let's get one thing very straight. If the United States wins, Phil Mickelson will get all the credit. And Davis Love will get no credit.
Well, I saw the great quote from Johnny Miller yesterday that said that Phil was the power behind the throne.
That's right.
I thought that was a great line.
Yeah, it was. And I'm happy that, to be fair, I'm really happy that that Tiger Woods was a welcomed addition. I thought he handled himself really, you know, beautifully. He had his pod. He stuck to his pod. And he wanted nothing to do with being sort of, he really let Phil, from what it sounds like, Phil be Phil and let him enjoy being the leadership. I mean, everybody to a man has said what a great leader Phil is. And Tiger did nothing to undermine that with his presence, with his own set of alpha male feelings. He really did just stick to his pod. And behind the scenes, I really think that's a credit to him.
Definitely, and I think it's been a real coup for the Americans actually having him on board as a vice captain.
Yep.
You know, his presence there, how inspiring is that going to be? If you're Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth, having arguably, you know, for them being two guys in their 20s, really they're probably their idol as being their kind of mini captain in their pod. So, you know, I think it's a great move for the Americans. Tiger's someone who, for all his faults and whatever else, the players, generally speaking, do get on very well with him.
Yeah.
And I think he is a team player at heart as well. I think he enjoys that environment, hasn't always had the great success at it. I think Tiger, as he's got older, has embraced that side of things a lot more. I think he's kind of embracing now more of an elder statesman role in the game. And it's been a really good week for Tiger. Also, a great week so far for the Americans. And I think, again, it comes back to the question of the overall structure and the task force and all the vice captains and creating that almost European style of continuity. You know, when Tiger's a captain in future, he will be better placed now for his experiences this week.
Yeah, and I think, and you have to remember how smart he is too. I mean, you don't become, you know,
intelligence-wise, you know, he's one of the best brains in the game, and to have that knowledge and experience there, to tap into that, even just a quiet arm around the shoulder or anything like that, it's just, you know, arguably the best player to ever play the game and one of the greatest of all time alongside you there. You know, what a real boost of confidence that must be to, if you're Patrick Reed or Jordan Spieth or anybody else, having him alongside you. I think that counts for a lot psychologically. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, his golfing intelligence is way above par or way under par, however you want to look at it. He's obviously very smart. And so to have that kind of knowledge to be imparted on you while you're playing is just tremendous. I mean, it's one thing to have Tiger Woods there, you know, in your camp. I mean, you know, Bubba Watson is there as a sort of, okay, we'll let you come along. You know, he was happy to be there. But he's not somebody I want in terms of in charge of my pod. And so to have Tiger Woods, one of the greatest minds in the game, is like you said, a real coup for the Americans, and I thought he's handled it beautifully. Well, Kieran, I wish you all the best today.
Enjoy
the little chat. I wanted to just have a little quick hit to get people lathered up, and I did refrain from basically shouting obscenities at you all podcast long.
Well, that's amazing, actually, because Anthony, you are the one American who wasn't actually mentioned then in P.G. Willett's article.
Well, that's,
you are the one civil yank. That's amazing.
I appreciate that. And I was, and I do appreciate Danny, Willett's brother for leaving me out of that. It's been a, well, that's a whole nother show. We'll get to that.
Yeah, exactly.
But thank you for joining me this morning, and let's hope for a stunning equally as enjoyable Sunday singles as we've had to this point. It's a tall task, but let's hope it does fulfill.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Kieran, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, and we'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, Anthony.
Cheers.